From Lubbock to Laredo, El Paso to Houston, and Dallas to Brownsville, we're talking Texas with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day is sex education, the most important thing public schools can teach. Well, a Texas Democrat legislator, kind of a leader amongst that crowd in Austin, thinks so. And it shows the left's priority for public education, which is social revolutionary indoctrination, not reading and arithmetic and things like that. We'll get to that. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. So-called independent files to run in Texas 19 to challenge Jody Arrington. We've got quite a bit in our border news stack and much, much more. A lot of political other things to get to today. Want to remind everybody you can listen to the show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and long-form interviews at PrattOnTexas.com. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. Want to remind all of you the big annual Hunter's Banquet and Auction from the Lubbock Sportsman's Club, a Dallas Safari Club chapter, set for Saturday, 27 August at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center. Congressman Ronnie Jackson, physician to presidents and big Biden critic, will be one of the guests there. Not speechifying. We don't do any big speeches. It's just a great evening. More guns, more trips, more great hunts nearby and abroad in this year's auction catalog, my friends. It's one of the biggest of these type of banquets in the country. Tickets are on sale now at LubbockSportsman.com. All right, my friends, the American economy shrinks for second straight quarter, tipping toward recession, just the news and everybody else reporting. And my friends, that's the technical definition for recession, two negative growth quarters. Of course, the White House is trying to say it's something else, but the fact is we know it. One thing, I was talking to our great friend Larry Williams at Williams Breakdown and Tire this morning, and he was talking about he and Linda's first house, that I think it was 21% was the interest rate back then. And I said, Larry, you know, we're not far apart in age. And I'll tell you, I was pointing out to Larry that he's one of those folks that got married early and was looking around. You really almost have to be a decade older than me. Most people are just renting and they're just playing around when they're young. For people to remember, I know people say, well, we've been through recessions before. Folks, this is what Democrat economics brings us. Now, you say, well, how come that didn't happen under Clinton? All that, because everybody stayed with the Reagan strong dollar principle for all that time. And we just had the longest expansion of our economy in history over those many, many years it continued to follow. Well, you got everybody's forgotten, you get this spend, government spend, which is just a devaluation of the currency. That's what our inflation is today. And folks today think, well, I've been through recession before. Oh, but you haven't been through recession when you don't have a job, jobs are going away. And yet, see, in the recessions you've been in with the strong dollar, some prices actually went down. Yes, they did. Deflation, because we had a strong dollar policy. You don't know what it's like, folks. We're talking recession with these people where not only are jobs scarce and maybe you get laid off, but the prices of everything, including your rent, which of course you can't pay when you're out of work, and food and gasoline, everything's going up at the same time. This is the awful, horrible stuff that the Keynesian economists brought us through the 70s, and it's just sickening to see how short memories are and people still vote for this stuff, and now they're paying a big price, and unfortunately we all get hurt. Terrible stuff. Did y'all catch this big story out of Honolulu, out of Hawaii, that's out on the news wires today? It turns out there's a couple, Walter Glenn Primrose and Gwen Darrell Morrison. They're both in their 60s. Been living for decades under the names Bobby Edward Fort and Julie Lynn Montague. These are names of two Texans. They stole the identity of years ago, I think little children or something. They stole the identity and apparently used this to get join the Coast Guard and then be a defense contractor and get security clearance. And they've uncovered photos showing the couple wearing uniforms of the KGB. the big Soviet spy, Russian spy agency. And in fact, the government says a close associate said Morrison lived in Romania while it was a Soviet bloc country. And these people, the names that they stole were, like I said, of Texans. Now, Primrose and Morrison were born in 1955. They went to high school together in Port Lavaca, Texas. That's their real name. Went to Stephen F. Austin, married in 1980. Then at some point, they assumed these new identities and married again under the new identities in 1988. This guy had multiple passports under multiple names, apparently both of them. And just shows you, folks. I mean, you know, the left always made fun of conservatives for talking about Russian spies everywhere and all the people. History's, you know, after those archives were open for a while during the collapse of the Soviet Union, we just found out the right in this country was naive about how riddled we were with the Soviet spies. And I think it continues today with the FSB and other agencies of Russia. Anyway, interesting story out there. You'll see it in most of the news publications. A teacher in Irving, you know, I've been telling you about these Democrat, big mainstream Democrat Party movement. They call it criminal justice reform, what it is, and bail reform, to basically make it where criminals, it's one reason we see such a skyrocketing crime rate in our large cities where you have larger crime rates anyway. They're putting people out without any kind of real bail. And we've got another story of this out of the Dallas area. Irving police, this is from WFAA, said Victor Hugo Moreno, a second grade teacher in the Irving ISD who resigned at the end of last year, was arrested a week ago after allegedly assaulting one of his seven-year-old female students. Seven-year-old. He taught in Plano ISD this last year and was fired because of a code of conduct violation, according to the Irving police. And turns out they believe continuous sex abuse of a young child. This guy was given a $10,000 bond and a $5,000 bond, and that's very low. You normally only have to put up 10%. The Dallas County, because this is the left is in control there. And one of the police spokesperson in Irving said, seeing someone like this get such a low bond from Dallas County and being able to bond out so easily is disappointing. I would say someone who's committing crimes against children is definitely someone who should have a higher bond, but not if you let Democrats be in charge, folks. And this is a terrible story out of Harris County from Harris County Constable Precinct 4, Mark Herman. A missing seven-year-old everyone's been looking for there was found deceased inside a washing machine in the home. So obviously you've got a big criminal investigation underway. And how about this for a pilot getting the job done out in Reeves County out by Pecos? CBS 7 reports that pilot Adam Streeter, 52 years old, he's going from Austin to El Paso for a business meeting. He experienced catastrophic engine failure at about 10,000 feet. He's advised by traffic control that Pecos Airport was closest. Due to the engine billowing smoke and oil all over his windshield, he wasn't able to see, so he declared an emergency landing and advised traffic control he'd land a single-engine plane on I-20 between a truck. He was really paying attention between a truck, tractor, semi, and a dually pickup who were traveling westbound on mile marker 42. He told them all that. A rough landing was made. Pilot did a great job, prevented further incident or injury to anybody. No injuries, no damage to other vehicles were done, and hey, got it down safely, and it looks like the people on the road were paying attention too and helped out with that. That's good. Palo Pinto Mountain State Park set for opening in 2023, first new park in a long time, in 20 years. It's going to be a beautiful one. We'll be back in a moment, running out of time, back in a moment with more on Pratt on Texas.
It's time for Pratt to breathe. Pratt on Texas returns in a moment.
The name may be Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, but these guys have repeat customers across the country. Why? Because they save you serious money. Mike Crafton and Jason Duncan specialize in finding and reconditioning quality work trucks, including heavy-duty pickups, utility-bodied trucks, bucket trucks, and more. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock can get you the work truck you need and save you money. You can see inventory online at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com or request them to find the truck you need. Talk to Mike or Jason at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans. Employers are looking for solutions, and my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution.
With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. HurleyBenefits.com.
Join us for the 2022 Hunter's Banquet and Auction on Saturday, August 27th at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center, sponsored by People's Bank. The Hunter's Banquet and Auction features good times, great food, premium live auction, silent auction, and so many chances to win everything from fine art and luxurious vacation trips to guns, knives, more guns, fishing trips, and hunts nearby and around the world. And did I mention guns? Hunter's Banquet and Auction is Saturday, August 27th. Tickets now on sale at LubbockSportsman.com, LubbockSportsman.com. True Texans, I'll see you there.
He's back and ready for more. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, my friends. There was a big, big piece in the Texas Tribune by Caroline Covington. Texas' complex relationship with firearms. Leading America in gun sales, but with a declining gun ownership rate. Do you believe that? Well, I went through this long piece, and the first thing you need to know is that this is this, you know, they claim to be, we don't take advertising. We're straight up, except they do this joint reporting with these left-wing advocacy groups. They even admit it here, published in partnership with The Trace. The Trace, they say, is a nonprofit newsroom focused on covering the nation's gun violence crisis. When you call it that, I mean, you're just talking about an anti-gun group, and they're funding the news stories. You see this in a lot of these pieces at the Texas Tribune. Why all these Republican politicians in Austin think they've got to talk to that paper and go to their little festivals, I don't know. But I went through this thing and marked it up. I just want you to know, you don't really need to pay any attention to it, you folks that care about these things. It's already been pre-printed in a bunch of other press outlets. You'll probably see it around. The fact of the matter is, the data in this thing is absolute junk science. And essentially, the story's a third longer than it should be because they simply do a whole lot of talking about how we really can't find out who owns guns. And there's some, they did interview a couple of people that pointed out, a lot of people won't tell you they own guns because they don't want to be on a list. And remember, we saw this a lot in the 90s in Washington, D.C. and New York, where liberals, some kind of crime would occur or something, and we'd find out they had a firearm and used a firearm. Well, it was illegal to have one in those jurisdictions. In other words, lots of people own guns, they don't tell you. But if you this thing is just a total waste of time. It's all part of their, I don't even quite understand what it is, because the premise is so murky that you can't even make that. That they say it's because Texas population's been growing, and that's a declining gun ownership rate despite more guns sold. It's just crazy, because there's no way to figure this stuff out. We don't have gun permits. We don't have gun registration. And like I said, the story's a third to 40% longer than it should be, because they spend a lot of time talking about, well, we really don't know, but, and it's hard to figure it out, but of course, we're going to stick with the premise. So just ignore that when you see that thing. It's silly. Oh, I noticed one of the other stories that appeared today, some group, oh, it's a lawsuit, another one of these lawsuits over border coverage. We'll get to that later if I get into the border stack. One of the local, you know, Texas political groups talks about the enforcing the border and everything. It's unfair because Hispanics are disproportionately affected and by traffic stops from DPS. I noticed, and by the way, that's all just a regurgitation. They've got the feds, you know, Biden White House investigating now. We went through all that during the Obama years, too. Every time we beefed up the DPS presence up and down the border, they started screaming that, oh no, people are now getting stopped for traffic violations. They don't argue that they're legitimate stops. They just argue they're getting stopped for violations they wouldn't have been stopped for otherwise. I don't like to get stopped either, and there is some truth to that. However, I thought it was funny they called them Latinks in the story. Latin Americans, Latino population. You know, there was a piece in the Washington Free Beacon, and I ask you, the liberals say they're inclusive. They love to talk about diversity and inclusiveness and all of this stuff. Who are they being kind to? Over and over and over, the Latino community has said in polling by massive numbers that they completely reject this Latinx label, and yet the leftists who claim to represent them keep using the label. Now, does that sound to you like you know, groups that represent Hispanic people? There was a new piece on that this week in the Washington Free Beacon by Robert Schmad. Filipinos blast Comic-Con for use of the woke term Philippines for Filipinos. No kidding. The Philippines voices in pop culture was a fun and educational all Philippines panel discussing Philippines influences behind your favorite media comic, Comic-Con tweeted. And they're mad. One user wrote, "I'd rather be called a racial slur than Philippines." Another one wrote, "Please stop trying to impose weird Western gender ideology onto people who never wanted it or asked for it in the first place," another said. The overwhelmingly negative response to the use of Philippines mirrors the failure in recent years of left-wing activists to normalize Latinx as a gender-neutral term for Hispanics. You know what that is? It's actually, they would call it racism. That's not the right word, but it's actually, that's what it is. It's bigotry. It's a rejection of the cultural standards of the Spanish language that has male and female terms for everything. Gender, you know, gender actually is a word meaning grammar. Sex is about your body and that kind of thing. And yet they claim to be so inclusive and loving and multicultural. Well, their multi-culti stuff is a lie, because the fact is, in this changing of the language, what they are doing is making a very strong statement of rejection of Hispanic and Latino culture in the Spanish language. It's just amazing. They've tried to do this for a long time. Almost no Latinos use the term, only a bunch of left-wing political operatives. 40% of Hispanics in polling said it was outright offensive. And when you put, you know, mildly offensive and all that, it was a majority. It's just so amazing. So do you really believe your leftist liberals are about inclusion and respect? Of course not. There's another story. The media is fascinated with Alex Jones. I'm not an Alex Jones fan. I have some friends that like this show and stuff. And, you know, he went all over TV and all over his show and claimed that the shooting at that Sandy Hook Elementary School didn't really happen. I mean, he actually said it did not happen. And now he's been found, you know, he's got all these lawsuits against him, and the media covers this in detail. And there was a big AP, Associated Propagandist, piece out, and it had all kinds of quotes from this trial in Connecticut. Connecticut State Police Detective Daniel Jewis told a jury on the first day of testimony in the Texas trial to determine how much Jones, who hosts InfoWars, owes for defaming the parents. Quote, "They were the most dangerous," meaning Alex Jones's denials. "Most dangerous, that's where we put Alex Jones." I don't understand any of this stuff. I don't understand how any jury found anyone guilty of defamation because he simply denied an event happened. Folks, this is shocking. They even claim defamation's not protected by freedom of speech, but he didn't speak. He said it didn't happen. He didn't defame anyone. So are we going to be able to sue leftists when they claim there's no God and claim that atheism is correct and that there is no God? No, I mean, that deeply hurts people whose entire life are based on their faith. Should we be able to sue them for defamation? I mean, this is crazy stuff. And too many of our people around us don't understand. They think, "Well, that Alex Jones crazy guy," and all that. They kind of scratch their head. What's all this about? Look, the fact that this was ever even allowed in court, and he's already been found guilty of defamation in the trial. They're trying to set a judgment against the man. I don't particularly care for the guy at all. I think he is one of these make-it-up sensationalists. In this case, he definitely did make it up, but just to draw attention to himself and keep people riled up. But what I don't understand is how anyone can claim to be any kind of American, much less someone in a position of power, or a lawyer or judge or anybody who thinks that it's defamation against someone to simply deny something existed. How in the world? What happened to freedom of speech? What happened to freedom of expression? If people want to deny put their souls in peril? Well, definitely, and deny there's a God. You know, we have freedom in this country, but not with the left. And I really think that's what this whole thing with Alex Jones teaches us, is that the left has made complete inroads now where they can sue you and take your money and your life away if you express opinions they don't like. It's shocking.
Don't miss what Pratt says next. More Pratt on Texas after the break.
I've told you about my wonderful experience with Dr. Silvia Zuniga in dental care in Costa Rica. Not only was it among the most positive experiences and best dental work I've experienced, my trip to Costa Rica, one of the hottest tourist destinations on the planet, included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and even a private driver. And the entire bill, total spending, was less than half of the best quote I got at home, a quote that was for much less dental work than I obtained from Dr. Zuniga. A couple from Lubbock now knows what I mean. They wrote to say, "We used your suggestion to go to Sylvia in Costa Rica. She was wonderful. Instead of $7,400, I spent $1,640, and not only for my dental work, but for my husband's too. It was a refreshing adventure, and she guided us in things to do. Thank you for letting listeners know." If you have big dental needs and challenges, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, PrattOnTexas.com.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Pratt believes the best way to ensure limited government is to limit the number of libs and rhinos who get elected to office. Don't worry, he'll tell you who they are. Now, more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Oh, there was a piece in what used to be called the Rivard Report by Robert Rivard, the founder, big left-wing journalist. It's alternative news source in San Antonio, now called the San Antonio Report. Big piece. Today, San Antonio's downtown homeless situation grows worse. Of course, it would be better to have written situation worsens, but nevertheless, bad editing there. I see this in Austin and all these liberal cities all the time. How could this be when San Antonio and Bexar County are run by, quote, enlightened liberals, end quote? How could this be? It's impossible, right? I thought it was Republican policies that caused this. Oh, that's right. It's Abbott over there in Austin caused it. It's just crazy stuff. All right. Today in Texas history, my friends, in 1908, Harper Lee of Isleta, which is outside of El Paso, made his first appearance in a bull ring in Guadalajara. 2 years later, he became the first American matador de toros. That's cool. I like that. This is also the day in 1973, the 28th of July, that a March for Justice took place in protest in Dallas of the killing of Santos Rodriguez. While being questioned about a robbery, Rodriguez was killed by Dallas policeman Daryl Kane. Kane was subsequently tried for murder and convicted. It was a bad thing. Rodriguez was exonerated. But the protest march turned into a riot, in which a lot of widespread damage occurred. 38 arrests were made. 5 policemen were injured. Kane's brief sentence, the cop's sentence, only 5 years, also became an issue, though a review of that case failed. And in 1994, I remember this one, Kenny Rogers, pitching for the Texas Rangers, pitched the 14th perfect game in Major League Baseball history. Our look at Texas history today, sponsored by USA Investigations, providing surveillance, security, witness interviews and statements, employment background checks, criminal and civil investigations, and much more. Learn about the team and investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. Our Lone Star story of the day today is sex education, the most important thing public schools exist for? Well, a Texas Democrat legislator thinks so, and it shows that the left's priority for public education is what the Marxists said it was all along back in the early 20th century, wrote books about, gave speeches about, while Americans sat there and pretended it wasn't going on. Take over the universities first. That teaches the teachers, the teachers' academies, and then you'll own the public schools, then you'll own the culture. We've seen it play out while people sit there and think you're a kook for talking about it because of their own lack of education and ignorance. Our Lone Star story today is sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing drug and alcohol testing programs for business and institutions and truckers. They're your go-to source, your partner in dealing with DOT testing regs. Get in touch with them at AlliedCompliance.com. The piece is by Jacob Asmussen in the Texas Scorecard. Oh, by the way, it involves the Texas House Public Education Committee hearing earlier this week. Republicans, you guys better wise up. You better wise up. You have this education stuff in your, that arrow in your quiver, but you're ruining it. There have been stories all over the state about how, as typical, people, they ask parents, this is about parental involvement in school, they ask parents to come testify, and then they let all the insiders testify all day long and the lobbyists all day long, and people had driven from all over the state and they didn't even start taking public testimony until 8:30 p.m. You guys better wake up. You're screwing yourself over big time with this kind of behavior. You do it during the sessions and people notice. And this is one of those where you're going to throw away one of your biggest motivators for people on your side, on the Republican side, to get out and vote because of the way you treat them. You better stop it. The lobbyists and insiders can testify last. They're getting paid. They can sit there till 2 in the morning. The citizens that drive across the state ought to be given time early in these things. Now, that this comes out of that hearing. That's why I bring it up. It's in the Texas Scorecard. Forget reading, writing, or math. Democrat State Rep. James Tallarico, a former school teacher from Austin area in Round Rock. They like him down there in the Democrat Party. He talked about his priority for schools. He was conversing from the dais with invited speaker Lori Kirkendall, president of Beacon Health Education Resources, about sex ed in public schools. They discussed recent state laws requiring school districts to be more transparent by disclosing human sexuality curricula and obtaining parents' written permission before teaching it to students. Tallarico disagrees with all that, these laws. Quote, a second major change that came in House Bill 1525 is that all sex education became what we call opt-in, where written parent permission is now required for all students to participate. Now, this is Kirkendall talking, who's worked with sex ed in schools in Texas since 1995. Previously, the law had been opt-out. Senate Bill 9 came afterward and added four sensitive topics to all these regulations: child abuse, family violence, dating violence, and sex trafficking. Tallarico asked, do we know what the impact has been? Are districts getting, you know, almost hopefully near unanimous consent for students to learn about maybe the most important topic they'll learn about in school? You see, it's not about reading and writing and math and all of that. It's about cultural changes, the indoctrination. That's right. He thinks he's a former teacher, that the most important topic they'll learn in school, they want the state to give these people their values. Kirkendall said yes and no because the data is limited. She explained districts have logistical challenges with obtaining written permission. Right. The left never likes to have any having to get permission from the parents to indoctrinate your children. I really think almost everything that's talked about in public schools now needs detailed individual case-by-case written permission. Or best of all, just get your kids out and homeschool them. Anyway, he goes on and talks about the rules are such a challenge. It sounds like it's a decrease. It'll decrease the amount of students receiving this critical instruction. And do we know, at least among health educators and among experts in this area, why sexuality should be part of it, meaning the Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills, and we would make it opt-in instead of opt-out? Kirkendall said, well, I think there's going to be given diversity of values around the particular sensitive subject. Giving an example of a large school district that sent out permission forms to parents and saw 78% opt in. Those sound like high percentages, but still it's a quarter of students not learning about sex ed, he replied. Compared teaching current sex ed curricula, many of which, of course, as has been documented, promotes dangerous homosexual behavior and activity with children. And he compared it to teaching the theory of evolution, deriding those who disagree. Of course, I guess he doesn't understand what theory means versus fact. But anyway, quote, and so my concern is that maybe the theory of evolution will be opt-in, right? Because we have a large segment of the population that has a problem with a theory of evolution, a personal belief that maybe conflicts with what we all agree should be taught in public schools, Tallarico said. And this is what's going on, folks. I mean, the legislature is going to be making a lot of decisions around these policies. We've seen how the left has put even the worst. It's pro-racism, critical race theory, anti-racism, which is pro-racism theories, all these successfully into our schools. The Democrats favor this kind of stuff. The guy sits there and, as they said, derided people who don't want their kids taught this evolution stuff, which is extraordinarily weak when it comes to scientific theory. I mean, none of it's proven. It's just a theory. It's a guess, sort of like the Big Bang. By the way, if you notice the James Webb telescope, the very first pictures are now causing problems for the Big Bang people, too. A lot of people saying, you know, that's one of these theories that's going to end up having to be so revised later that it's not even what we taught people for years. So like geology, forever and ever it was taught as absolute fact that all the great geological changes are happen over millions and billions of years, and the stuff about cataclysmic stuff was just not there. And now the data that we have, so much more data now, shows that cataclysmic events tend to be more dominant. So, you know, it's just interesting. Anyway, my point is, this is what they think matters for your kids in public schools. Public schools are a tool to indoctrinate and poison the minds of your children. That's what Democrats believe. Back in a moment.
Stay in the saddle. Pratt on Texas will be right back.
It's an Abilene Sunday tradition. Mouth-watering fried chicken and chicken fried steak. Fabulous veggies served family style with yeast rolls and unbeatable homemade desserts. All from Pratt's favorite, Bell's Chicken Dinner House at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene. Bell's Chicken Dinner House serves you fantastic fresh food every Thursday through Saturday for lunch and dinner. And on Sunday, it's the perfect traditional after-church lunch. The catfish is fantastic, too. Visit Bell's Thursday through Sunday at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene.
Was your property damaged by wildfire? Winters Dozer Service has the equipment and know-how to get your land cleaned up and back in shape. Some counties may even have state assistance available, so get with Winters Dozer Service now to get your property back in order. And while at it, plan to build future fire breaks with Winters Dozer Service. Get going now. Visit wintersdozerservice.com. That's wintersdozerservice.com.
If your business depends on its computers, remote managed services from Jeff Barker Computer Services is a must. Managed services from Jeff Barker Computer Service reduces problems and failures by monitoring and maintaining your computers remotely. And when something goes awry, you have an expert to help you immediately with full knowledge of your system. If you depend on your computers, managed services is what you need. Visit jbcs.com, jbcs.com, to learn how Jeff Barker Computer Service can help you. jbcs.com.
No 30-06 or 30-07 signs here. Nope. Pratt on Texas welcomes true Texans with the tools that won and keep our liberty.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. The Big Spring Herald reporting that Nathan Lewis of Lubbock has filed as an independent to challenge Texas 19 Congressman Jody Arrington in the general election. Says he's a Nebraska native, went to University of Nebraska, electrical engineer and other subjects, worked at a nuclear station in Nebraska, then moved to Lubbock in 2006, said he worked at the South, with all that education, says he worked at the South Plains Food Bank garden and apple orchard for 11 years. Said he implemented his own small-scale solar setup and doing growing methods. And since he left the food bank, he's focused most of his attention on politics. Really? I've never heard of the guy. And nobody else has either, really, but I just wonder who he is anyway. I asked somebody who he was today, and they said, well, he stood too close to the reactor up there at Nebraska. I don't know. I want to get to some of the stuff in the border stack. Illegal alien drives 85 migrants to the Texas border to pay his own smuggling fee. That's the latest out of the Breitbart border coverage. Story by Lusana Moreno. Illegal alien from Mexico pleaded guilty to trying to drive a tractor trailer carrying up to 85 migrants to a Border Patrol checkpoint in Texas. Those people suffered from super high temperatures, and that came weeks before those, you know, the 53 who died in that trailer left in San Antonio. Jose Luis Vega Arzate, 31, went before a U.S. magistrate and pleaded guilty of a conspiracy to transport illegal aliens. He's from Nuevo Laredo. He said he did it. He drove it to pay for his own smuggling costs or whatever. This stuff is just so grotesque. And you've got to get a kick out of this Washington, D.C. mayor, Muriel Bowser, who seems about as incompetent as Biden is, because she's asked now the D.C. National Guard to help them because of their, what she calls a humanitarian crisis, because their shelters are full in the D.C. metropolitan area, because she claims 4,000 illegal aliens, or what she calls them, migrants, have arrived in her city. Now, remember, the Texas Operation Lone Star has not sent anywhere near 4,000 people there, but that's gotten, what we bust up there at our expense has gotten a lot of attention. So she's calling it a humanitarian crisis because in the massive D.C. area, they've had 4,000 illegal aliens. Crazy. She says it's a tipping point. She wants the D.C. Armory to be used as a processing center with the National Guard. Boy, people just tore this woman up on Twitter. And I thought that if they got this right at Twitchy. If 4,000 is the tipping point for one of America's largest cities, what about what's happening on the border? And Ted Cruz had some good fun with this, talking about how when, you know, Arizona and Texas border towns, everybody been completely overrun. The Dems didn't call it, haven't called it a humanitarian crisis for us. Well, John Cooper wrote, Del Rio is a town of 35,000 people that dealt with an influx of 15,000 Haitians all at once last September. And remember, the thousands and thousands coming every month. That was just one issue. I don't remember Bowser or any Democrat calling it a humanitarian crisis. Ted Cruz really got her. D.C. Mayor rightly calls massive influx of illegal aliens a humanitarian crisis. She says with 4,000 arising in D.C., we're at a tipping point. If 4,000, Cruz writes, is a tipping point, what the hell do you call 3.5 million illegal immigrants who've crossed our southern border? it's just amazing. It's shocking how tone deaf and how crazy these people are. They spent all the way back to the Obama Biden administration talking about, oh, it's not a big deal. 4,000 people show up in a massive metropolitan area and it's a terrible thing. But nationally, they tell everybody there's nothing happening when we have 3.5 million folks. We have thousands and thousands coming across into our communities here. And that's the point. D.C. is all that matters. I mean, we've moved into a society where it's government based and that's the center of the universe for these people, and the rest of the country doesn't matter. Now, I mentioned this piece by Jolie McCullough at the Texas Tribune out today. Texas troopers are causing car crash, car chase fatalities. Is that the troopers are calling, not the smugglers. This is why Democrats can't control crime of any type, because it's always the police's fault that, for example, the guy with the gun that robbed the place and pointed it at cops gets killed. You know, it's the police's fault for enforcing the law that bad things are happening, not the criminals. And that's not an unusual position for them, because they also believe that guns themselves cause people to be criminals and murderers, not the criminals. So here's the headline. Texas troopers are causing car chases, fatalities, and racial profiling drivers under Abbott's border crackdown, complaint claims. You got civil rights groups claiming all this again. And that's where I was talking about Latinx, one of the ACLU of Texas and Texas Civil Rights Project, quote, there is significant evidence that DPS is engaging in racial profiling, discriminating against Latinx drivers and passengers in these stops, and troubling the stops turn into deadly vehicle pursuits with alarming frequency. Well, they only turn into, it would only be wrong if they weren't making the stops a probable cause, and they essentially admit in this big long piece that, yeah, there's all kinds of probable cause, expired inspection stickers out of, you know, taillights that are bad and all that. And yeah, it is kind of tough if you live along the border. We saw this last time where DWI arrest just went through the roof during the Obama years when we went down there, put the DPS, really beefed up DPS and put so many more people on patrol. But does that mean that it's wrong to catch these people? Of course it's not wrong. This is a big, long piece, and what I wanted to say about it was, it's nothing new. This is just a recycling of the complaints we've heard over and over about border enforcement, and it's how the left views things. The problem's not the border. The problem's not thousands and thousands of people a week coming across illegally and engaging a lot of those people, a good number of those people, engaging in criminal activity, smuggling and the car chases and all the other stuff. That's not the problem. The problem is that police are trying to actually police the situation. And this is, again, this goes back to the gun stuff too. The gun causes the crime, not the criminal. The police are at fault when they simply show up. How many times has this happened in my own city, in a certain neighborhood or two, where we end up with great discord because the police shot somebody who was so dangerous that within the home, the family called authorities to come because they were afraid of somebody. The guy lunges at cops in a narrow hallway with a knife or something, and they have to defend themselves and shoot him. This has happened so many times, and then the police are responsible for it. And you know, you're left scratching your head saying, well, wait a minute, you called the cops. But see, this is the mentality. And it's the mentality of, I'm never responsible for anything. It's always outside influences that do everything to me. I have no personal responsibility. And it's just another little sign amongst all the philosophical level that leftism and liberalism is an extraordinarily dangerous and essentially extremely fundamentally immature, stuck in adolescence philosophy. It's always somebody else's fault. Always somebody else's fault. Texas trucker convicted of smuggling 124 migrants. That's right. That was a conviction earlier this week reported in Breitbart. And Texas Democrats want to pay for illegal aliens. A good piece at the Texas Scorecard by Emily Wilkerson. While Republicans make securing the border one of their legislative priorities at their convention last month, Democrats are taking the opposite approach. Now, they apparently got drunk and couldn't pass their platform, but in their draft platform, they call for expanded access under Obamacare to illegal immigrants. They also called for abolishing reentry bans for nonviolent illegal immigrants, as well as allowing illegal immigrants to obtain driver's license. That's what Texas Democrats believe. It's also strange. They want to indoctrinate your kids with public schools into all kinds of sinful behavior and leftism, and they don't want to do anything about illegal immigration. They want more of it. Thanks for joining us. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pride on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock, tuned to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tuned to 96.1 FM Q Country.